Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
Hey, everybody. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. I'm Molly Vogt.
And I am Kim Munson.
Welcome. We're excited to be with you every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. right here on KDMT. Keep us on your dial and check us out at AmeriChicks.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. Also, we have a new Facebook page, AmeriChicks I Am a Movement. We'd love for you to check that out. And basically, we are asking everybody, we're really challenging them, are you smarter than big government? We think you are. And so what we want you to do is just to let us know what's the number one issue on your heart today. Why does it matter to you personally? And what is your non-government or smaller government solution?
We want to hear from you because it's more important than ever with all the craziness that's going on in Colorado right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy out there.
Well, Colorado and America, everywhere.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in addition to telling us on our Facebook page, AmeriChicks I'm a Movement, we also want to invite you to come out in person. We are going to host an event on July 24th at the Water's Edge Winery from 6 to 9 p.m. We're going to bring our video equipment, and we are asking you to come out and share your solution there.
Should be a lot of fun.
Should be. So come join us.
Yes.
Yeah. So a couple things going on today, Kim. You know, there's been a lot of talk over the past few years, I think, putting down millennials and saying, you know, that they just don't have the work ethic that everybody else had. And you know, as I start, I think about that, I'm like, okay, well, where did they lose it, or who didn't teach it, or why is that happening? And I think a lot of it comes down to education in the schools.
Oh, my gosh. I totally agree with you, Molly.
But what's the excuse for Congress?
Well, that's a good point. Very good point, because they're a little older than millennials, aren't they?
Yeah. And why is it that they don't think that if they're getting paid to do a particular job and that was on their resume, they signed up for it, there was an agreed upon contract with Congress and all elected leaders and the people that they need to do those jobs and they can't go home until they do?
That's what happens in private enterprise. You get the job done and you don't go home until it's done.
Right.
So this idea, I mean, they took time off for the 4th of July and then they were planning on what, 5 weeks or something in August? Is that right?
Yeah.
That probably goes back to in the olden days before air conditioning. They probably took a break then because it was so hot in Washington, D.C. That's the only reason I can figure that out. Although with all this crazy stuff going on in Colorado, we're not going to have air conditioning here either with all these new mandates by Governor Hickenlooper and Mayor Hancock. But I digress.
True. Well, let's get to that real quick. So the good news is that it looks like Mitch McConnell has delayed the August recess, saying we got to figure out this health care bill or we're not going home. I think that's very good.
He should have said that a long time ago.
Well, I think it's about time. And I think he probably said that because there was so much pressure from the people. And that's good. Keep it up. Regardless of whether these politicians have an R or a D behind their name, they need to do their job. And we need to hold everybody accountable, we the people, because they do work for you and for me. And so I'm glad. So it looks like, you know, the things on the table, obviously, Senator Cruz has come up with a new amendment to the Senate health care plan. Mm-hmm. And he is proposing to allow insurers offer plans that don't meet the current market requirements under the Affordable Care Act, which, as we know, was supposed to save families $2,500 a year, but ended up costing much, much more.
Right.
And, you know, in the individual health marketplace, Kim, a lot of people have lost insurance.
Right.
If you work for, you know, a big company, a big employer, you're probably okay. But in the smaller market, under Obamacare, a lot of people have either lost their insurance or it's so expensive they can't afford it or they can't use it anyway. And a lot of counties have actually gotten rid of all options for Obamacare. So
well,
we need
something.
Well,
it's not on purpose. It's because of public policy.
Because of public policy. Because it's too expensive for insurance groups to do business. So I think it's, you know, it's an interesting idea and we think about it, but the same insurers that offer something that doesn't force, you know, young boys to get certain, you know, have certain coverage that only women would need and vice versa, asking women to get a coverage that only older men will need without going into those details. I think it makes sense, you know?
It does make sense. And Obamacare made no sense. Mm-mm. I mean, just what you're describing is just crazy. And these points that you were paying for things that you didn't want, you were forced to pay it. If you didn't do that, then you had to pay a fine. And then the whole system was too expensive. The premiums, if you did have insurance, they were too expensive and your deductibles were out of sight. So it was designed to fail.
Well, and I don't think that, that Congress or even the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, as they do their analysis looking into the future, I don't think they have that magic ball to be able to say, if we make this change, here's what people are going to do with their buying habits. They thought that by forcing young people to either buy insurance at a really high rate or pay a penalty, that they would buy that insurance. But the penalty costs less than their insurance. So, of course, a lot of kids didn't get on there. And there goes your healthy pool to help balance out the entire insurance pool. CBO didn't get that right. And well, I'm just not sure that Congress is going to either.
And on another level, though, government is saying to our young people, if you don't buy something, we are going to fine you. I mean, on the big level of America, is that really where we've come to? You know, people believe in choice and options and freedom and liberty. It was just astounding to me. This was the first time in America that this has ever happened.
Yeah. So obviously there needs to be a change and Senate needs to get this done before they leave for break. But what's odd, Kim, is I just saw now Senator Lindsey Graham just came out today saying he's putting together his own alternative plan.
What's he been doing the last 6 years?
What have all of them doing the past 6 years?
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm just saying, doesn't matter if they're a Republican or Democrat, we need people that are representatives of the people that are doing the right thing. More options is going to bring down the cost. And healthcare, we need to bring down the cost. When
Absolutely.
The government came up with their solution in the beginning, it didn't bring it down. It increased it. Real quick, we are going to, after this break, bring back a very interesting songwriter, Frank Myers. You've heard his song, some of my very, very favorite, My Front Porch Looking In, I Swear, you know, I'm Already There. These are great songs. He's going to share his story with us, kind of from a rags to riches. You know, he worked really hard, but there was a time when he didn't know if he was going to be able to afford what was coming next, but he kept working hard. And these are the kind of stories we want to encourage people with.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment, and closing fees are limited. Active duty or retired military, reserves, and surviving spouses may qualify. Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook have spent decades finding the correct loan to suit your unique financial situation. Give Home Mortgage Alliance a call at 303-888-2732. That's 303-888-2732. Or check them out on our AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com.
Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks Molly and Kim personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChick sent you.
Just you and I.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks. We have on the line with us Frank Myers. He is the guy that wrote that song. And there's so much going on out there, things to be concerned about. Molly, we bring forth important issues that should be on people's radars. But we also love to talk about exceptional endeavors, people that have success, that have dreamed, they've worked hard. And so we have online the line with us, Frank Myers. He's a Nashville songwriter. He's a singer. And he's just a really talented guy. And we're just really honored to have him on the line with us. So, Frank, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm great, Kim. How are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine.
Hey, Frank. Molly here,
Molly?
Too. I'm here.
Hey, Molly. How you doing?
So good. So good. Thanks. Great to see you again.
Hey, Molly. I think we tried to do this last year, didn't we?
We did. We did. And I finally got it together. You know, I'm a woman. Sometimes my head goes elsewhere.
Well, and year goes by really quickly, Frank.
But it don't take long, does it?
Yeah.
No.
Well, and it's great because we always get to see you at TAPS, the Tragedy Assistance
Program for Survivors.
Yep. Of mm-hmm. military servicemen
awesome,
and women.
Awesome organization.
How many years have you been working with TAPS or been helping TAPS?
Oh, about 6 or 7, I guess.
Great.
Well, you guys do this event where you bring out some of your other colleagues of writers, and you're all so talented, and it's just kind of sitting around, and you're explaining what you were thinking about as you were writing these songs. And Frank, these songs that you've written, I mean, they've been many of my favorites over the years. And, of course, the one that we just played, I think was played at weddings for years, at least.
Oh, that still is,
yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
Along with I Swear.
Yeah. So, well, let's jump in here. Your story is pretty amazing. How did you start writing songs?
Well, when I was about 14, I got these nodes on my vocal cords, and I had to go take voice training. And this older lady that was training me just said she had some lyrics and asked if I would put some music to it. And that's really how it all began.
Wow. Now, you grew up in a musical family because your father was a champion fiddle player, right? So you were always around music.
That's right. They called him Pee-wee. Pee-wee Myers was his name. His real name was Melvin.
Okay.
And, I started playing guitar when I was 9, and Dad showed me the first few chords on it, and I took it from there, and then... Of course, we got to play together many times. My grandmother was a banjo player, and my uncle was a mandolin player.
Oh, wow.
Upright bass player. So, definitely ran in the family.
Wow. So, and then at 14, you guest starred on the Porter Wagoner TV show. Now, I'm going to date myself, but it seems like it was on Saturday afternoon. I remember watching that all the time.
Oh, did you see me?
I probably did. I didn't know it was you, but I probably did.
Are you kidding? Hey, Frank, she used to have posters of you all over her room.
Yeah, right. That's right. So, you got your first big break with, how'd that happen? Tell us about that.
I moved to Nashville in April of 81, and I got a job playing guitar for Eddie Raven in July of 81.
Wow.
And so it happened pretty quick. I actually knew the drummer in the band that Eddie had hired, and the guitar player in that band had left. It's actually Tim Menzies was the guitar player in the band, and he went and was the guitar player for the band called Bandana. Do you remember them at all back in the 80s?
I don't.
Tim Menzies, great singer, great writer himself. So anyway, I got the job playing guitar, and of course Eddie was a songwriter, and I had a few things that I had written, and I played them for him, and he liked my melodies on that, and that's how it all started.
Okay.
And it seems like September, I guess, of the same year, just a few months later, we did a show, and we opened for Tanya Tucker. And she had an idea for a song she wanted to write for Glenn Campbell. And she had the title. It was called Changes. And she wanted Eddie to write it with her. And it ended up Eddie and I wrote it with her. And that's how it all began, really. Changes was my first cut. And then there was a line in Changes that went, when we were together, it was right. We had it all, you and I. And every time I would hear the song, of course, you know, that song being my first cut, I listened to it 400 or 500 times.
Yeah.
And You and I would always pop out as a title to me for some reason. And so one day I'm sitting around the house trying to write a song, and my wife come in and asked me to write her. She was a big Commodore, Lionel Richie type fan. And, and I was too, for that matter.
Yeah.
I played all kinds of music, so I've had a lot of influences. Asked me to write her a Lionel Richie type song, and that's how it came about. I wrote You and I, and I kept telling her we'll be all right, and, you know, you hear that a lot in the song, because she was concerned that we weren't making a lot of money at the time. And Eddie was a new artist, so he wasn't working a lot. So naturally, we weren't making a lot of money. And she was basically supporting us. And we had one car, and she worked second shift. And I'd take her to work and use the car. And this particular day, I took her to work, came home, and wrote the song. And that was it. It wasn't written as a duet, you know. It was just written as a song. And Crystal Gayle just come over to Elektra Records, which was a subsidiary of Warner Brothers. And they wanted to get her to come sing on one of Eddie's songs, and that was the song, and it turned into a duet.
Wow, it was a big hit. We are talking with Frank Myers. He's a Nashville songwriter and singer, and we're just learning about his story, how he got to Nashville, his first big hit. But you have worked with so many big names over the years, and you've had fabulous hits. So where did you go from Eddie Rabbit and Crystal Gayle?
Well, just kept writing. You know, I was Eddie Raven's guitar player, so we wrote a lot and wrote a lot of his hits.
Okay.
A lot of his biggest hits we wrote. You know, I Got Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was a big hit. Bayou Boys, Sometimes a Lady, You Should Have Been Gone By Now. You're Never Too Old for Young Love.
Wow.
Now, Frank Myers, what inspires you to write? I mean, do you ever get writer's block, and how do you get rid of that?
What inspires me is a great idea or a great melody. And to get through writer's block, you just have to write.
Yeah.
Write your way out of it.
Yeah. Well, is it you hear some music first, and then you come up with the words?
Well, most of the time I start with a title or a hook, and most of the time I'll start with a chorus, and then build the story around the chorus.
Well, tell us a story.
But the music and lyric with me kind of come together almost simultaneously.
That's a unique talent.
Mainly the music first, and then it just, they each inspire the other.
Well,
I might think of a melody starting out on this chorus, and then after I've written the lyric, and then it may inspire a different melody. I mean, just it happens in different ways.
So it's a natural talent is really what it is. It's a unique talent. I think each of us has something that we can do really well, and you do this really well. I'd like you to tell us the story about one of my favorite songs, My Front Porch Looking In. I just love that song.
Hang on, we're going to play a little.
The only ground I ever owned was sticking to my shoes. Now I look out my front porch at this panoramic view. I can sit and watch the fields fill up with rays of gold.
I could listen to that song the whole show because I have listened to that many, many times. Because I had a little blue-eyed, blonde-haired girl that had her shoes on all wrong. And so it touches my heart every time I hear that song, Frank. And I think
people can pick that CD up at www.frankmyersmusic.com.
I guess we should let them know that, shouldn't we?
Frankmyersmusic.com. There you go.
And it's Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, not N-E-Y, M-Y, frankmyersmusic.com.
Okay.
Of course, they have it at, you know, CD Baby has it, Amazon, iTunes, everybody. You know, it's not Richie McDonald of Lone Star singing it, but, you know, That's okay, I guess.
Well, it's you, Frank Myers. And you know, I didn't realize until a few years ago that people didn't all write their own songs. And that was just interesting to me because you think, oh, they're belting it out. Like, it's got to be a personal story that touched them personally. And you're like, no, actually, somebody else wrote it for somebody else. I think Prince wrote songs for other artists, too. You know, and I'm just kind of curious how you all get kind of synced up together on that kind of stuff. And they say, well, I wrote this song, but that sounds kind of like a Tanya Tucker song, or that sounds like it might be something that Lone Star would do well.
Yeah, I mean, just because someone wrote it that's an artist doesn't mean that it fit them as an artist. And, you know, for a long time, songwriters pretty much wrote everything. Artists, for the most part, didn't write. You know, there obviously are a lot of great artists that did write their own things. You know, Lennon and McCartney and just so many right down the list there. But songwriters have been the backbone of Nashville forever. And thank God for that. You know, thank God for George Strait and all these guys that cut songs that the songwriters write. And, you know, a lot of the artists today want to write songs, and and that's fine, but some of them don't realize they're not songwriters.
Mm-hmm. But the free market will tell them that sometimes, right?
Right.
Well, if you got a couple hit songwriters writing the song with them, chances are you're going to get a hit song.
Okay.
But that don't mean that the artist is a writer.
Okay. It's just, you know, they're wise in their selection.
So Frank Myers, was My Front Porch Looking In, was that about your personal family?
No. True story. I wrote that with Richie McDonald of Lone Star and Don Fremmer, a great, great lyricist. And those, for the most part, are his lyrics. I tweaked them a little bit, but not much. And we had gone out to Richie's house. He called me up one morning and said he had to cancel the songwriting appointment because his horses got out. And I told him, well, Don's probably almost here at the house, so why don't we just come out and help you do whatever's going on out there. He said it was a hole in the fence. Anyway, he was really just trying to brush us off that day because we got out there and there wasn't a fence. They were putting a fence up. They had a hole digger.
So there was a really big hole.
His in-laws were there and all the kids were there. Everybody was there. And he had this long drive and it went up to his house and it had this wraparound porch with a big, you know, picture window, plate glass window there. And after we got done, we're standing out on the front porch, Don and I and Richie. And Don loves kids, always loved kids.
Hey, Frank, hold that thought, because we want to hear this. Such a great story. So we're going to go to break. This is the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. We're talking with singer-songwriter, Nashville star, Frank Myers. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we want to hear the balance of what they were doing when they wrote that song. So we'll be right back.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, June 30th, the triple feature at 88 Drive-In will include Despicable Me 3, The Mummy, and Wonder Woman. Admission is $8 per person and children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. And be sure to visit their delicious snack bar to help 88 Drive-In Theater continue to bring you the best in movie entertainment. Get their special pizza deal Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Stay up to date on movie showings and times at 88drivein.net and be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Okay, that is the instrumentals to My Front Porch Looking In. We are talking with the singer-songwriter Frank Myers from Nashville. That's one of his songs, and it's one that I absolutely love, Frank. I just love it.
Well, thank you. Like I said, it came from a true story. So
you're at your friend's, and you're out. You were going to do this songwriting appointment, I guess, to get together, and they said that there was a hole in the fence, and when you got out there, they were building a fence, right?
He said there was a hole in the fence, and the horses got out and all this stuff, and it was pretty funny. You know, we got out there, and they were actually putting a fence up. So like I said, after we were finished, we were up on this wraparound front porch, and his house was up on a hill, so it had a beautiful view where he lived. And I can't kept telling Richie and Don, I said, wow, there's a great idea from this front porch right here. Look at this view. It's so beautiful. And Don was laughing at the kids playing inside. And he said, well, it isn't as good as the view looking in.
Hmm.
And that's where the idea came from. And there was a carrot top that could barely walk with a cup of milk and a little blue-eyed blonde with shoes on wrong. And we even talked about, you know, Richie said, yeah, she likes to be a big girl and put her own shoes on and this and that. And so it's a true story.
Oh.
And like I said, Don was such a great lyricist. He really helped me learn the art of songwriting because it is an art. There is an art to it. It's you know, to me, the perfect song comes when art and inspiration collides and people relate to the songs. And this is one of the songs that happened on. So a few days later, Richie and I, we're going to meet at Don's office and work on this idea. Well, when I showed up before Richie. Don already had the first verse and the chorus lyrically written with no melody because he couldn't play anything, he couldn't sing or anything. He was just a great lyricist. And he just wrote to a rhythm in his head. So I sat down and started reading the lyric, and as I was reading the lyric, the melody started coming in my head. So I had the melody down, and when Richie got there, you know, we played him the first verse and chorus just exactly the way you hear it now. And, of course, he loved it, so we finished it. We wrote the second verse and the bridge, and that was it.
Frank Myers, how long did it take for that entire song to come together? Lyrics, music, everything.
Well, like I said, when I got there, he already had the first verse and the chorus lyrically written. And I had the melody within 20 minutes.
Wow.
So it's kind of like Handel's Messiah, right? You guys just whipped that out pretty quickly, huh?
Yeah, and then Richie shows up, and we probably had it finished in an hour later.
Okay.
So we probably worked on it 2 hours, maybe.
Okay. Now, Frank Myers, we are on Denver's Money Talk, so, you know, all this actually goes around to paying the bills as well. All the things that we do every day, I mean, when your work can also be your passion, you're certainly in a blessed position. But sometimes it takes a while for the money to come. And then I remember when you guys were performing at TAPS, one of the guys said that this is the song that paid my mortgage. So, you know, how does that work? Do you guys, you know, is there a contract?
He actually said this is the song that built that house. He was talking about Suds in a Bucket because he was talking about Simon Cowell when Kelly Pickler or someone sang it on the show, and he was making fun of the song.
That's right. And he stood and the writer, your colleague, said he stood at the TV and said that that's the song that built this house.
That's the song that built my house.
Well, and how do you monetize on that? I mean, obviously, if you're working with the group and they start singing it at the beginning, do they buy that from you? Do they pay a certain percentage? Does it have to hit like number one spot first before they start making money on it? How do you monetize on writing a good song like that?
Well, first of all, when someone cuts your song, they have to get a license to use it. And then everybody just monitors it. I mean, ASCAP, BMI, whoever you're with, monitors the airplay and pays you accordingly. And then the publisher and Harry Fox, they collect the mechanicals, which are physical sales like CDs, sheet music, downloads, that sort of thing. And, you know, it's all done digitally.
So, Frank Myers...
And then you make X amount of dollars per play and per download. But I got to tell you, the songwriters are really, really, especially older songwriters like me, where a lot of my stuff now is being played on Spotify and Pandora and this and that, are really getting the raw end. We've lost 80% of our writers in Nashville because they can't make a living anymore.
Now, that was my question.
I'll give you an example. If you don't have mainstream radio, and just let's say most of your stuff is being played on a Spotify or Pandora or whatever, You know, I co-wrote Tomorrow by Chris Young. And I had, and I'm not going to say which one it was, but they're all basically the same, 9 million streams on this quarter. And it was just a three-month period. 9 million streams. Guess how much I made?
I don't know. How much?
Nine million.
Well.
$450.
$450.
You made $450 on 9 million streams?
Yes. I figured it up, and it came up to, because I've ended up figuring up several of them, and so I'm just going to guess it was like 30 ten-thousandths of a penny
per stream. Well, and you know, and when you started, you moved to Nashville.
If they would have just paid us a penny,
right?
Just a penny per stream on 9 million, I'd have made $9,000.
Gee-many.
Mm. But in Nashville, when you went to Nashville in the 80s and you started writing songs back then, it was more probably of a CD deal, wasn't it? And then what was the payout on
back
a
then?
CD? Yeah, yeah.
There was no CDs back then. I came here in 81. It was all vinyl, 45s, albums.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I don't remember what the payout was, but today in 2017, a song only gets paid 9.25 cents.
You know,
per sale.
Frank Myers.
That's to be split with all the writers and all the publishers.
This is a big level question now that we're moving into. We hadn't really planned on talking about this. But, you know, America was founded on this idea of property rights. And there's intellectual
right.
property rights. What you're talking about is art. That's an intellectual property right. And before we were talking with you, Molly and I had talked about our education system. And I think
right.
a lot of the young generation, they don't really understand that what you just mentioned is there's the property right of somebody that actually has created that song, and
yeah,
the,
and
if
I'm
in fact
not,
you can't make
gonna,
a living.
I'm not going to come down too hard on the young people, because when I was young, I used to take somebody's album and make a cassette out of it, and I didn't pay for that.
Okay.
But I didn't know. I just didn't understand the mechanics of how many people count on the money from something.
Mm.
I mean, you know, you got the, not only the writers and publishers, you got the record label, you got the artist, you got the all the musicians that played on the record, all the promotion, just all these different things, and people that get their livelihood counts on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Frank Myers, what about movies?
Movies, you know, I wrote "I Swear,"
yeah.
So that's a big song, a huge song, the biggest song that I've ever written. If you don't have a song like that, you can't make a ton because they don't want to pay you a good sync fee, and you get paid a sync fee up front, and then that when you get that sync fee, you don't get any money on sales. You know, they take all the money for sales. You do make your ASCAP and BMI money when it goes to pay-per-view or HBO or whatever. You get airplay money, but there's no sales money.
Well, how can that – how we're going to be going to break here in just a minute, but I'd like to know what the solution is. I'm sure that you guys are working on it. I mean, everybody would like to find a solution to this.
The problem is there's so much big money from Google and all these people that lobbying our politicians, and we're the only people who are still living under a 78-year-old consent decree.
Well, let's go to break. We're talking with Frank Myers, Nashville songwriter, singer, and we're learning a bit about the music business, and I think it's really important questions that we're talking about here, Molly.
It is, and check out frankmyers.com for his music. He wrote a lot of the songs that you know and love, and hang on, when we come back, we're going to play you the number one.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Freedom begins in your house, not the White House. We Americans enjoy the privileges of a free society, and each of us has a duty and responsibility to keep America's unique ideals of freedom on course. How? Lens of Liberty can help. Lens of Liberty's Free Freedom Kit provides a complete guide to help you be informed, stay vigilant, and fight back for liberty. Order your Free Freedom Kit from lensofliberty.org now. That's lensofliberty.org, so you are armed with the tools necessary to stand for America's ideals.
See the questions in your eyes. I know what's weighing on your mind.
If everybody's just going down memory lane, welcome. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim on 1690 AM. This is, I swear, such an awesome, awesome song, and it was written by Frank Myers and Gary Baker. It sounded like it was John Michael Montgomery recorded it first, I swear, which it was number one for 4 weeks on the country charts, and then it was recorded by All for One. It went to number one on the pop charts and stayed there for 11 weeks, and since then it has just won award after award after award. And we have songwriter Frank Myers on the phone right now. So, Frank, what an awesome song.
Thank you so much. It's amazing the power of a song and what it does when it, you know, it hits its mark with people.
It really is.
People and relate to it.
And you'd mentioned, you know, art and inspiration before we went to break. And really, you guys, you do amazing things when you write these songs. And a lot of people don't realize that artists don't all write their own songs. And this comes from somewhere else. And you know, I always thought that you guys made just money after money, hand over fist. And before we went to break, you said, you know, a lot of things had changed, you know, recently. I mean, it's a lot easier for us to just download music. You know, we can go to Spotify and get it for free if we're okay with commercials, or, you know, pay like a dollar a month or something like that to actually have unlimited, you know, songs downloaded. And we thought you guys were making a lot of money, but you had mentioned, Frank, before we went to break, something about a 78-year-old law. Explain that to us, that was holding back on this financial situation.
Well, what happens, there's a consent decree, and anybody can start a new business. And it happened, you know, years ago with all the mom-and-pop radio stations. There was only one, well, it was actually when BMI first became a business. For a long time, it was just ASCAP. And ASCAP would raise its rates at will. And so broadcasters got together and started BMI. Broadcast Music Inc. And after, when it became evident there were two companies now, they reached an agreement. It was called a consent decree, to where any mom and pop station or whoever could play their repertoire and then negotiate the terms later.
Okay.
And we've been living under that since then. Well, you know, we've been trying to get that changed for years.
So everything has really changed now with Spotify and Pandora and all that. I mean, it's so you have a 78-year-old law, and here we are. You know, I mean,
well,
everything's
not only
changed.
That, but we are the only business where the government tells us how much we can make.
Well,
they set,
I don't know if you're the only business,
but
no. They set the rate.
Well, it's kind of like...
I know they don't set the rate for radio stations and stuff.
Right.
We are the only business where our rate of what we make is controlled by a copyright tribune.
Wow.
And Frank, is that the 9.25 cent per sales?
Yes.
So, how do we change this? Because I've always told my kids, Frank, growing up, because I felt there was all kind of a bunch of junk out there that kids can listen to. I sound like I'm getting really old, huh? But I always said to my kids that I felt that art should really celebrate the human spirit. And of course, your songs do. I mean, they touch people's hearts, and that's what's so amazing about that. But if people can't make a living doing something, I think ultimately it's going to hurt us because we're not going to get this great stuff.
Well, it is, and it's already watered down to a point. And, you know, it's not just art, it's intellectual property. You know, it came from someone's mind, and then people just take it. It's just if I walked into your house and just started taking things I liked, it's the same thing.
Right. So a couple of things. You know, big business and big government like each other. You'd mentioned some big businesses that you guys, as the little guys, the guys that are creating this, you're trying to change it. How is that coming along?
Slowly. But, you know, I think we're moving in the right direction. You know, I'm not privy to all of what's going on. So people I talk to that know say that it's going to change, but it's going to take a while. But we've been told that for a while. And, you know, it's got to start with the folks. You know, if you're getting something for free, someone isn't being paid.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously everybody wants things for free or as cheap as they can get it. I understand that. But these companies, Spotify, and I just keep saying them, and Pandora and whoever, just because they're at the top of my list. But there's a bunch of them. I mean, you know, Rhapsody, there's just a bunch of them. A bunch of them I've never even heard of. You know, there's Apple Music now, and there's all these services. And they just need to have to pay more for it themselves.
Well, Frank Myers, to your point, I mean, this is really the American idea, creativity and innovation. And that, like you say, the idea that this is intellectual property, this is something that somebody's created. And if somebody else finds that that's a value, then there should be a mutually agreed price upon which, you know, what the product will be sold for. And of course, that's what's in negotiation. People say, oh, I won't pay that, or yes, I will. That's of that much value to me. But what you're saying here is in essence, it's, you know, this intellectual property is kind of being stolen. And and there is something inherently un-American about that.
Yeah, I mean, you're preaching to the choir here.
Well, I think it's important that our listeners kind of really think about that. That's one of the things that Molly and I like to do, is to bring forward these issues and really start to think about it. What you just mentioned, would it be okay if somebody liked your couch, that they came into your house and took your couch without, now if you agreed upon selling it at a certain price, okay. But it's
right.
Not right to just go in and take somebody else's stuff.
It's not right. But unfortunately, you're never going to change that. That'll never change. What has to change is this: the consent decree and what the people using the music are paying for it, the companies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
and if they want to stop the people from getting it for free, then quit offering it for free.
Yeah.
Got it. Got it.
All right, so frankmyers.com.
You know, I myself paid, you know, the $10 a month to listen to Spotify.
Right.
That's nothing.
Right,
you know,
right.
In the grand scheme of things, I think they should have commercials and everything else, because the commercials
pay. Right,
would help pay for things, just like on commercial radio, where if you have a big hit on mainstream radio, you make a lot more money because they have to pay them a lot more.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Frank Myers, we are out of time. And we've been talking with Frank Myers, singer, songwriter, Nashville star.
Time passes so quickly.
It does. And so,
I didn't even get to ask you about Dolly Parton. Real quick, what was Dolly Parton like? How is she as a human? I think she's awesome.
She is totally awesome. She, you know, first time I met her, I was actually like 12,
yeah.
13. You know, she just hugged up on me and was as sweet as she could be.
That's what we
okay, one more question. Is there anything different in the type of music that you find that people want today? That for because you're in the country, you're on the countryside. Are there changes people want that you are kind of changing to? And what would that be?
Well, you know, you kind of have to write for what people want to hear today. If you want to have any success on mainstream radio, or you just write what you want to write, and you write things, you know, you make the songs about who you are. You know, there's a lot of things to me, and this makes me sound old, but you know, there's a lot of things they call country music today that to me has no. Doesn't even resemble country music.
Yeah, you're totally right. I know, and I fight with the TV, with DirecTV, when it tells me it's country pop, and I don't think it's country at all. But we do have to go. FrankMyers.com. Thank you so much for your time today. Everybody check out FrankMyers.com and pull up his songs.
It's Frank Myers Music.
Okay, FrankMyersMusic.com. Great. And also his information's on the Amerishik's Facebook page as well. So thanks, Frank. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, that was a real treat. And fortunately, Molly, my computer is working right now because sometimes it doesn't. And you know how frustrating that is when my computer doesn't work. But have you heard of this, Evan, your IT guy?
I think it's awesome. I know it's not, it's open now. We're telling people about it right now, but it's going to be open this fall. But check out evanyouritguy.com. This is a network of IT professionals that will provide on-demand help with your computer needs. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Which I love.
And you can get it right online. And, you know, and they are actually looking to hire right now as well. So if you're an IT specialist looking for a job, check out evanyouritguy.com. They're specifically looking for veterans as well. And this is something you can do, you know, from the comfort of your house. And we need it. We need pros. I know Kimmy's always going next door, bugging her next door neighbors for help with her computer. Now you won't have to do that anymore. And you'll probably save money on all the food you're having to make for your helpers if you just go to evanyouritguy.com. They'll help you with your computer issues.
So the launch is soon, but go ahead and sign up. Check out their website. EvanMyITGuy.com.
EvanYourITGuy.com.
I've already taken ownership.
ITGuy.com. And we've got their banner and more information on the Americhicks website, too.
Yep. So definitely check it out. So this has really been a great show. I didn't really realize that we were going to get to intellectual property, but really glad that we had that conversation with Frank Myers about that because creativity and innovation and ideas, we want to make sure that those are protected here in America, because that's the engine that makes everything go, Molly.
It sure does, and we want to make sure that people get paid for the value that they're bringing out there. And, you know, Frank Myers, I mean, he started in the 80s, but when you look at his list, go look at I Swear, My Front Porch Looking In, Just You and I, Sometimes a Lady. These are all songs that we've known and love. And, you know, he started in the 80s, but he's been with Alabama, Lone Star, Kenny Loggins, Dolly Parton, George Jones, Tammy Wynette. I mean, he hung with all of the greats, it sounded like, in the country and Western world, and he's written so many really awesome songs that are still great today. And you know, the sad thing is that songwriters apparently aren't getting paid as much as they should because of the consent decree. And I think we always need to go back and look at the law and look at how is it affecting our ability to earn a living
and
to get paid for what we bring. Mm-hmm. Bring value to somebody else, get paid for it.
Yeah, and we're going to end with this quote from Alexander Hamilton, Federalist number one. Of those men who have overturned the liberties of republics, the greatest number have begun their career by paying an obsequious court to the people, commencing demagogues and ending as tyrants. Keep that thought. We're going to talk about that a little bit more tomorrow.